You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk and show number 346. Today is Sunday, August 14th, 2016, and my name is Hamilton. We are at full strength tonight with both Stevie and Curtis joining me, and we have a great show for all of you. But before we get to it, remember, you can find us at www.atlantabaseballtalk.com. You can also find us at www.blogtalkradio.com, where you can also find a wide range of other awesome podcasts. So check that out. You can follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk, and you can find us on Facebook. And always, as always, if you know someone who is a Braves fan, let them know about our show. We rely primarily on the word of mouth of all of our great listeners like you. So spread the word. Help us out. All right, Steve and Curtis, I have to say there's a storm going on here where I live, so you might hear that. I also have a dog that has a special skill of letting you know that it's thundering outside really loud. So both in the form of, hey, it's thundering, and then this is what it sounds like, repeating it. So I'm going to do my best, but that you may hear that in the background.
Ooh.
There we go. That was Curtis, just to be clear. All right, so on tonight's show, guys, we will discuss the homecoming that never was for Brian McCann. We'll explore Frenchie's future, and we will celebrate Jim Johnson's braveness for the rest of the season. All that plus a quick trip to the farm to check in on our offensive pipeline, shots in the dark in the week ahead. But first, guys, I don't know if you have noticed, but the Braves are sort of good lately.
It's compared to the start.
Let me put it this way: the Braves are a markedly better team these past couple of weeks than the season was headed towards.
Yes.
So let me set some context here and get your reaction. So first of all, dating back to July 26 until this weekend series, dating back a couple of weeks, our series with the Twins, the Braves had split or won every series since then. That was the Twins, Phillies, Pirates, Cardinals, and Brewers. So we actually had a pretty nice – it's all relative, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. And since the All-Star game, I think even more tellingly, since the All-Star game where we started out with a horrible week and a half against the Rockies, Reds, and then Rockies again. But since the All-Star break, we are fifth in the majors in batting average at .272. We're actually 25th in homers, which we're ahead of the Cubs. We're ahead of the Cubs. We're 7th in OBP, 12th in slugging. We right now, since the All-Star break, are a better than average offense by a long stretch, and our pitching has been okay. I mean, there's been flashes. It's not been as such a stark contrast to what we were in the beginning of the season as the offense. But, you know, we're middle of the pack in batting average against and a lot of other stat categories. Not so great in homers and ERA, more near bottom of the pack. But still, the level of play has improved dramatically. So I have two questions to you guys. First of all, you know, what do you make of this resurgence? And then how much do you think this is meaningful for next year or will influence our decisions moving into next year? So let's start with what do you make of this? And we'll start with Kurt listening to Steve. Steve.
Whoa.
Yes, that's
that
right.
That was tricky.
That was payback. Kurt gave me one of those a couple weeks ago. I had to pay him back. So what do you make of this?
I think that I don't know what to make of why the offense is better. Okay. I mean, they've started hitting some more home runs, like you said. You know, they were on a historically low pace for home runs.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard to believe that was going to course correct to some degree. I think that, you know, there are some new guys in the bullpen and they have figured some things out. And, you know, that has made it better. The starting pitching is kind of weird, right? Because there have been so many injuries and guys sent down that it's a little weird that the starting pitching has been as good as it has been.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of it's kind of quirky. Some of it is returning to the mean. You know, in terms of what does it mean for next year, I mean, I think that some of it's very meaningful and some of it is completely meaningless, right? Like, you know, staying with the starting pitching, so much of it has happened without Tehran, obviously without Whistler. I mean, we're talking about guys like De La Cruz and Whalen. I mean, these guys are not going to be part of the future.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, man, the starting pitching is coming together, because we don't really know much more now than we did a month and a half ago, you know?
I agree. Curtis, what do you think?
Well, I think that at least on the offensive side, you know, you had those really slow starts from Markakis, from Inciarte, from Ibar, and those have sort of course corrected themselves. I think that's sort of where you're looking at how the offense has improved. But I mean, I'm with Steve. I don't know how much you're going to take from this. And it seems I worry about like what they're going to do with Snitker. And I feel like it's not going to be some harmonious thing. It feels like they're playing better and that he's really working hard with the team. But I also feel like that there's like no chance that he gets the job,
yeah.
Which is.
But Curtis, don't you think that this has at least changed the conversation in the front office's mind?
I do some, and I think fan support will be partially behind him because of the job that he's done.
Yeah, lukewarm at best, though.
But I mean, if you were to ask me, when kind of we've gotten these names, which still appalls me that we can't sort of break free from this bubble, but. If you were asking me if I would rather have Snitker, Pendleton, or Eddie Perez coaching the team next year, I want Snitker much sooner than I want. And the idea of Eddie Perez managing a major league team just drives me insane.
Huh. Is that because he's just an unknown or what?
Because I think it's like Freddie on steroids, you know? I mean, I think it's...
I don't think there's any way to know that. It's been impossible to see his fingerprints on anything.
I'm not really honestly suggesting like what the results might be, but I feel like the managerial style. I mean, he
definitely falls from the same tree. Absolutely. Yeah,
and that's my concern. At least Pendleton, we know, has some fire and things like that. Eddie Perez seems like the ultimate yes man. So, yeah, but it's fun that they're better. It's fun to play spoiler. It's fun to, you know, throw a wrench in some of these other teams' chances. But I don't know how much in the grand scheme of things them playing a little better is really going to mean much.
Well, for me it's a matter of, I hope it doesn't, right? And in the short term here, in the immediate time, I mean, I can't root against the Braves. I'm happy for them. I like that they're winning. I like that some of these guys are getting to show their stuff. And obviously, there's a couple pieces here. Inciarte, you mentioned them, not Ibar, are part of the future. You know, it's exciting. But I hope the Braves don't say, this is good enough. This is where we start rebuilding around Snitker and the sort of positive stuff that's happening right now. I just hope it's a flash in the pan. I worry that they may say, well, listen, you know, he's got a good record. Look at him against Freddie compared to Freddie. And why don't we give him a shot next season? He can't be part of the overall solution going forward. We need a marquee manager. We need Snitker is not that guy.
Well,
nor is Perez, nor is Pendleton. Nobody who we have now is.
But him, why do we need a marquee manager? I mean, I've kind of changed on this a little bit just because of ticket sales, because we need a new voice, because why? Like it looks like Snicker's doing a good job, right? And I think that his bullpen stuff has really settled down. I think he was shaky at first, but that really hasn't happened too much. And the guys seem to be responding to him. Like, you would be really disappointed if it was Snitker. And why?
Because I feel like it's not that it's such a marquee name. It's someone with a lot of experience who's out there. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Bud Black or Ron Washington, or there's a lot of managers out there who just have been there before. I worry that the stage taking this team to the World Series, I don't know if Snitker has that in him. I feel like we need someone who's been there before. That's why. I have nothing against Snitker, and I like him. He's very likable. I mean, I just don't think – I don't see him as the man. I mean, if we, you know, if our timetable is let's start getting good in 2018, surprising people in 2019, maybe 2020 is when we're competing. I don't see Snitker as the manager who's taking us there. So maybe, yeah,
I've just changed on that. So, I mean, the dude's been in baseball organization for 40 years. You know, he's got a lot of experience. I don't know. It doesn't seem like the worst thing that could happen.
What? So I guess so. I mean, there are worse managers. Like, who do you not want the Braves to go out and explore? What's the type of manager you don't want them to have next season?
I don't know. I would maybe be more worried about some unproven, you know, third base coach or bench coach that's never that's never managed a major league team.
Yeah.
I would much rather Snitker than that.
I agree, but I don't.
And I don't want Bud Black. God, I don't want Bud Black.
Yeah.
What has Bud Black done? So I do want to get back to, like, building around. You know, you hope they're not thinking, well, we can build around this. I doubt it. I mean, I just think there are some bright spots which are good, like the middle relief. You know, guys like Cabrera and Ramirez, Withrow before he went to the DL, but he's coming back soon. You know, I think that the middle relief is kind of coming together. And, yeah, you know, Inciarte, I mean, this has been great. And Markakis, if they keep him, I'm happy to believe he's finally healthy and this is the offensive piece he can be. If they're not going to trade him, at least let him be, you know, this guy.
Right.
So I think there are some pieces, but, you know, a lot of it is just this year and doesn't have a lot to do with next year.
You think?
And they still got their worst record in baseball. I mean, it's not like they're all of a sudden,
true,
you know, going bonkers.
That's right.
Well, it's just not a travesty anymore.
Right. Right. And Snitker still has a losing record.
Yeah.
I mean, and the last four of the last five games were not great.
Yeah, well, I think that's more the starting pitching than anything.
Oh, sure. Yeah. There's no doubt. But, I mean, the schedule's gotten easier. They've played better against competition that they've had to play against, and they've knocked off a couple of teams like the Pirates and the Cardinals and things like that. But, I mean, it's a lot of Rockies and Reds and Twins and Phillies, you know. I mean, they played a bunch of mediocre teams lately.
Yeah. All right. So, guys, we're going to play a little fair or foul in a minute, but let's take a quick break first. All right, welcome back, and let's do three rounds of fair or foul, where I throw something out there, and we agree with it fair, or we disagree with it foul. So, Steve, let's start with you going first here, and here's your fair or foul. The Yankees have gone all in on the rebuilding process and, you know, had one of the better trade deadlines of the non-playoff contention teams. I mean, they really set themselves up to be awesome. And it's interesting to see a team like the Yankees go all in on rebuilding. You know, at the beginning of the season, they were averaging around 15th in the farm system rankings. I think they have significantly upgraded that since then. But to the point, as part of this, the Braves engaged the Yankees in talks about local hero and former Brave Brian McCann. It was reported that the Yankees asked for Inciarte, Folty, but that they would kick in $2.5 million per year on McCann's two remaining years at $17 million per year. So you'd get him for about $14.5 million a year. So Stevie, Inciarte, Folty, plus a little bit of cash, or getting a little cash for McCann. Is that a fair offer from the Yankees? Fair or foul?
I mean, it would be exciting and fun to have McCann back and all that. Like, I totally get the nostalgia piece of it. But McCann is a 32-year-old catcher who's OPSing, you know, 730. And he's a lefty, which the lineup doesn't really need. And he's 32. So, foul. This was, frankly, an insulting offer, I think, by the Yankees. I mean, it's Brian McCann. He's you know, his batting average is .230. His OBP is barely over .300. It's not like he's hitting 25 homers a year anymore either. I think it's crazy. I mean, I think that you take Brian McCann back because the Yankees are going to pay half of his salary and they get a couple low level prospects. I mean, this should be more of a benefit to the Yankees because they're trying to dump some salary and open up a spot, not get like two major league ready players. I just think it's insane. Foul, yeah. Foul, foul.
All right. Curtis.
Well, yeah. And on top of that, they've got they've got a lot of catching depth. They've got this guy, and I'm going to kill his name, but it's an awesome name. His name is Kyle Higashioka, who is at AAA, who's tearing up AAA. They've got guys. They've got Romine. I'm going to kill all these guys' names. Who's a good backup. They've got Gary Sanchez, who started really good for them. So McCann's not even starting for them. So the idea that you're going to trade him as if he's one of the best catchers in baseball, at least on the return that you're wanting with those two players, it's insane. I mean, if you're telling me that maybe you bring Brian McCann back sort of like on a Frank Gore deal or something like that at some point down the road, yeah, I'd probably buy into that. But, I mean, is Frank Gore that much better than Tyler Flowers right now? I mean, he's
McCann.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Why would you give up that much to get Brian McCann other than the nostalgia factor? And if you're asking me who I would rather have as an old Brave coming back to the team next year, it'd be Martin Prado over Brian McCann any day of the week.
Yeah.
But also not Adam LaRoche.
$14.5 million.
Yeah.
He can come and not his kid.
Yeah, and on top that they're only gonna throw in $2.5 million to offset his $17.5 million.
Yeah.
And I mean, what do the Braves need for a guy who can't hit, hits an occasional home run? You know, I mean, didn't we just take Matt Kemp on? Haven't we already filled that role?
But he's lefty.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a foul.
Yeah, I think Cashman was drunk with all of the deals he had been able to, you know, swing around the deadline. I think that's ridiculous as well. So absolutely foul. I mean, Inciarte, you would take McCann and like three other prospects plus cash, right? Maybe that's the type of deal. Nothing, or faulty. All right, so let's do round two here, Curtis, and we'll start with you. So Frenchie has passed through waivers. Mark Bowman reported that the Braves are asking for a top 10 prospect in return for him. Although it's not been confirmed, word from Copy is he didn't just want a warm body to fill out a minor league roster spot in return for Frenchie. So now, while Frenchie hasn't necessarily had an all-star season, his slash line 247, 287, 387. Against lefties, he has. His slash line is 280, 320, 432, and is certainly something that could be considered valuable by a contending team. So, Curtis, your copy, fair foul, demanding a top 10 prospect for Frenchie is a fair ask.
I mean, I guess you got to give credit for going there, but this sort of feels like the McCann thing in reverse. to ask for a top 10 prospect for Jeff Francoeur at this point, who's basically the bench version of a loogie, you know? I mean, you'd only bring him in as a pinch hitter if you're on a contending team. If maybe an outfielder got hurt, or two, to pinch hit against a left-handed reliever. I mean, sure, ask for the moon, I guess, because you sort of aren't afraid that if it doesn't happen, you get to keep him on the team and he gets to provide leadership. But it's a little silly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like that that the Braves recognize that there's a little bit of the intangible value that Francoeur brings in terms of his leadership and clubhouse presence and stuff like that. And that they're also not just doing any, I mean, it must have some impact on the team where you trade Francoeur for, you know, top 20, just a, you know, a body swap. Right. And just the, you know, I mean, sort of what that would mean to the team. So I'm glad that the Braves drew the line somewhere. I can't blame any team for not taking that. Stevie, what about you?
Yeah. I mean, he's barely an above replacement level player. He's 0.3. In Fangraphs, 0.7 in Baseball Reference. And he still can't hit that down and away curve. You know, I mean, and he's been in the major leagues for 10 years. Like, Frenchie's got a great arm. You know, he'll hit one out every once in a while. But a top 10 prospect? Curtis, I agree with you completely. It's like the exact reverse of that Yankees ask. It is delusional.
All right, final round. And I will respond to this one first. So, Jim Johnson was claimed by another team off of waivers, but a deal was not reached. Now, the rumors have it that it was the Mets, as they had claimed to have gotten a reliever off of waivers, but then they ended up never making a formal announcement about who that person was. So now, by all accounts, Jim Johnson will remain with the team for the remainder of the year. Fair foul. Hamilton is happy with the outcome of this situation. Yeah, I mean, if the offers weren't there, and it doesn't sound like they were, I'm glad we didn't just settle for anything here, and I'm glad we didn't make the Mets better. So I'm always happy for that. I do think Johnson has value to the team. With Vizcaino on the shelf and not even great when he was back, I think that or on the mend as he comes back, I think that having Johnson here as a steadying presence will be good. I think Johnson has value. He started off this season poorly, but you know, since about midway through, he's really brought it on and been very valuable, a reliable closer in the few close situations that we've had. I would not have been sad if we had traded Johnson and gotten a great prospect in return or commiserate value in return. But I'm not sad that he's still here. So that's where I am. Stevie, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sad that he's still here, but I'm not excited in any way that he's here. Because, again, this season more than ever, now that it's August 14th, is about the future. And how did the starting pitcher do? And how do the middle relievers who will be here next year do in the offense, right? Jim Johnson's probably not going to be here next year. If he is, it kind of doesn't matter if he got traded this year or not, and he'd be a free agent, and we'd pick him up or we wouldn't. So it really has no bearing on me. I kind of don't care if we win or lose the games. It's about the individual performances. So I'm not excited one way or another about it.
So if Johnson's out there, would you want him back next season? Or do you hope we have better options?
Well, I think if the money is right, I would absolutely take him back. He's been a good presence the last 2 years. But not a have to.
Right. Curtis, what about you?
Well, I guess the only thing that I would add to this, it seems, from what I read, it seemed more like the Mets were blocking him from getting to another contender. And potentially they had no interest in trying to trade for him, that they just put a waiver claim on him so he wouldn't get passed to somebody else that they might have to compete against. And I mean, since beginning of June, he's been quite good. I mean, and maybe the Braves were expecting that they would get something legitimate back from him because of his performance over the past couple of months. I mean, it's pretty straightforward that he's pitched really well. So I don't know that I blame the Braves so much for this. I think this was just sort of a strategic move by, if it was the Mets, that they were trying to block him from getting to somebody else and had no interest in even making a fair trade for him. They just didn't want somebody else to get him.
Right. And now that he's been claimed but pulled back after the trade deadline, he's ineligible now. I mean, there is no question he's on the team the rest of the year.
All right, guys, so let's take a quick trip down on the farm, or down to the farm, I should say. And since our offense has been picking up at the major league level, let's see how it's doing, particularly in Mississippi and Rome. So, of course, no prospect report can start with anyone but Dansby Swanson and Ozzie Albies. So we have Fremp. Can we say Swalbies?
We could.
Dansby Swalbies. I'm going to call them Dansby Swalbies.
I think we're going to have to vote on throwing you off the show.
I'm trying to make sure we don't rotate who hosts the show anymore and that it's always Steve. Anyway.
So I second that.
So Dansby. So let's look at the Augusts for these guys. So Dansby in August, 263, 391, 342, a slightly better month than July. But he's not at a point where he's knocking down the door for playing time in Gwinnett or even much less in Atlanta. Albies, horrible August, 222, 255, 289, has really, really come back down to earth. Had a great July. So sort of the same situation as Dansby. A lot to work on, but hopefully soon. I don't know if that how much this impacts whether we will see them this season or not. Two more people to check in on. One more in Mississippi, Dustin Peterson, who we checked in on a couple weeks ago. His August line is 289, 347, 400. So he is one of the surprising bright spots in Mississippi. And I would bet, guys, that we see Peterson – in Atlanta before we see Dansby Swalbies.
Do you really think there's a chance we don't see Dansby Swalbies? That'll be the one time, Hammy.
Okay, thank you.
that we don't see those guys in September?
I don't know if it means we won't see them at all, but it feels like he's more ready.
Well, yeah, I don't know that I disagree with that. And you know, the common refrain we've heard from the front office, particularly with Dansby and Albies, is, you know, they're going to tell us when they're ready. And they've not been really telling anyone that they're ready to come to the major league level the last few months. Right. I mean, it's been, you know, 260 average, some rough stretches. Yeah, I mean, so it'll be interesting to see what they do in September. I would think just to build some excitement and you know, put major league fan eyes on those two guys, I think we do see them in September.
Yeah. Curtis, what do you think about that, those three guys in general?
Yeah, I mean, I still sort of stand by my don't think we're going to see any either one of them this year. And their numbers as they sort of fight their way through single A, double A, I don't see it happening. You might not have brought him up. I know that he was on the list, was Austin Riley. Are you going to talk about him?
I am. Going down to Rome.
Yeah.
What do you think about Peterson? You think we see him?
It'll be interesting. Maybe if they can trade Ibar or somebody like that, that they open up a spot for him. Or maybe when they expand in September, he might get a call up. But yeah, I mean, he's sort of a, you know, I feel like Jace Peterson type of player. So it seems like they've sort of got that guy covered right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they would put him other than as a September call up.
That's true. We have a lot of those guys. All right. So let's do look at Austin Riley. So he's in Rome. His August was like a lot of these other guys, 200, 321, 511. So some power, but striking out at a 2-1 ratio, not really getting on base. For the season, he's a bit better, 258, 312, 444. He does have 130 strikeouts and 419 at-bats. So there is that. I think he's a work in progress. I think his power is promising, but he feels 2 years out to me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the first, you know, he's one of the true power guys we have in the farm system. But yeah, I mean, he's a ways away, I think, too, Hammy.
Yeah. Curtis, any thoughts on that?
Well, I guess I when I went to look up his numbers, I suppose I didn't realize how young he is. He's only 19 years old. So I think that obviously they're going to take lots of time with him. The strikeout numbers are troubling, but, you know, he does hit some home runs. So hopefully that's something there. Hopefully that with Ruiz, you know, potentially being a guy that can play third, that he Riley will have some time to develop and hopefully cut down on these strikeouts. But 19, I mean, playing 19 at single A, even that's pretty young.
And slugging 511. So there's something there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So we're going to do our shots in the dark in just a bit, boys, but let's take a quick break. All right, guys. Shot in the dark time, where we make wacky, zany, and sometimes even accurate predictions for the week ahead. But before we look ahead, let's take a look back at our picks from last week, and let's start with our listener-submitted shot in the dark. So last week's pick came from Australia's biggest Braves fan, potentially self-proclaimed, Hudson, via Twitter. Hudson said that the pitchers will have more RBIs than Markakis did this week. So let's check in on that. So Markakis had a power week with 3 RBI. For the week, just barely edging out the pitchers who had none. So,
but you know what's funny was that I'm pretty sure that Markakis's first at bat this week was a homer.
Really?
So it was a bad start for Hudson.
Yeah, it was.
And I think Olivia Newton-John is actually Australia's biggest Braves fan. We can look that up.
But. Okay, that's what she says.
Yes.
So, or at least Atlanta Baseball Talk. So, Hudson, thanks for the support. Hope you're having a nice winter down under. But sorry. No winter this time.
Really?
Wow, that was uncanny.
Down under.
Are you going to do a shrimp on the Barbie joke now?
Nope.
That's a knife.
I did recognize that it's winter there.
Well done.
Thank you.
Way to know your northern and southern hemispheres.
That's right. Absolutely. I pay attention. All right. So, Curtis, for us, you predicted that the Braves would hit more than 8 home runs this week. And just to be clear, by saying they would hit more than 8 home runs...
So let me guess, they hit 8 home runs.
You did not mean they would hit 8. So this is an important distinction because heading into today's game, they had hit 8, and today we had none, leaving us at a flat total of 8 for the week. Let's come back to this. Let's marinate on this for a second.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
All right. So, Stevie, you predicted that Jenkins would give up 3 earned runs or less this week. Curtis, do you see what Steve did there? He said 3 or less.
Right.
A little more wiggle room.
Well, you'll see when we get to my shot in the dark how I've worked on that.
Okay, so the form. So anyway, so headed into today, Tyrell had given up 1 earned run.
I was feeling very good. Very good.
Very nice start earlier in the week. And today, he gave up 3 in the first, 4 in the fifth, en route to 7 and earned in 4 2/3. So no, Stevie.
So I'm not part of any controversy this week.
You are not. So you positioned your shot in the dark much better than Kurt did. But in itself, it was a horribly wrong prediction.
Yeah.
All right, so for me, being the jerk that I am, I predicted that Inciarte would keep his hit streak alive up until today, but then lose it today. And he lost it on Tuesday. So thanks to me and thanks to Ender, congratulations to no one. I'm a loser.
Mm-mm-mm. Really?
So, Stevie.
Yeah.
I leave the verdict in your hands at this point. So you have felt wronged by prior shot-in-the-dark losses before. Or a tie, not even a loss, a tie.
Right.
Sometimes you hear the word shot in the dark and you cringe a little bit. You wince, maybe.
More when I hear your name, Hammy, but okay.
And not Cervenka. I forgot the guy's name that you hate. The speedy guy, outfielder.
Constanza.
or Cervenka.
Anyway, Cervenka. I don't know why I had him in my name. Anyway. Stevie, you make the call. Curtis, does he win this point this week or no?
Yeah, he does.
All right. You're a bigger man than I am. Case number 2, why you should be running this show every week. All right. So that leaves...
You have a heart.
You do have a heart. So that leaves us. Kurt has 2 wins in August. Stevie and I are close tie for 2nd with 0.
Dominating.
Yeah. Steve, you want to change your...
No, it's all right. Okay. It's all right.
I didn't want to put it out there beforehand, but I did want to.
We got half a month.
I did want to reserve the right for change later. All right, so here, let's look ahead. Let's get past this. And remember, you can play along at home out there, but let's start with us. So, Stevie, what is your shot in the dark for this week?
All right, I predict that Adonis Garcia will have more homers and doubles than either Freddie or Kemp.
Fremp.
Well,
the individual parts of Frank.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Curtis, what about you?
I have in Tehran's first start back from the DL, he pitches 7 or more innings and gives up 2 or fewer runs.
Nice. Good form. All right. I predict that Matt Kemp hits 3 or more homers this week, but strikes out 12 or more times. 3 homers, 12 Ks. I'm tripling down on the power potential and whiff potential of Matt Kemp. All right, so again, all of you listeners out there can play along. Submit your shot in the dark through Twitter or Facebook. Use the hashtag ABTSITD, Atlanta Baseball Talk Shot in the Dark, ABTSITD, and get it in before first pitch on Tuesday this week. We will pick a lucky listener, as much as you can call someone who is a Braves fan lucky right now. We will track your progress throughout the week and announce the results on next week's show. Be like Hudson from Australia. Be the biggest Braves fan. Submit a shot in the dark. I almost did Australian accent there, guys, and I didn't. I spared everyone, except for the people who enjoyed it. All right, so let's look at the week ahead. So we are home for a 6-game series. We have 2 against the Twins, 4 against our best friends, the Nats. And here are the pitching probabilities. There's a couple of questions out there. I think this is what we're getting, but before you call your bookie, make sure you double-check some of these probables here. We start with Twins Braves. Joel De La Cruz with his 0-5 record, 4.09 ERA against our good old friend Ervin Santana, 5-9, 3.62. None of the Braves have done well against Santana historically.
God, I just could not be less excited for De La Cruz starts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just so uninteresting.
He could not be treading the water more than anyone. He is such a...
Other than Fausto Carmona. RIP.
Well, yeah, yes, right.
I was
more, we hardly knew you.
I was more interested in him. I would rather watch a Fausto start than a Joel start.
Yeah, me too, just for the weirdness of it.
Yeah. So then we then have five inning Fulte, his 6-5, 4.5 ERA, ability to only go two times through the lineup, going against Kyle Gibson, who has been struggling. 4-7, he's got a 5.09 ERA, but really, really struggled with an over a 7 ERA in his last three games. Then the Nats come to town, and I think we have Tehran against Reynaldo Lopez. He's made three starts for the Braves. For the Nats. That's how many pitchers have started for the Braves. I just do that reflexively. Reynaldo Lopez for the Nats, 1-1, 5.74 ERA. I think it's a TBD, but that seems like who it would be. We then have Waylon against Tanner Roark. 12-6. Roark. It gets ugly for us. 12-6, 2.88 ERA. And then Tyrell against Max Scherzer, 12-7, 2.79 ERA, an under 0.9 whip. He kills us. And then the two Joel starts this week, Stevie, my sources tell me, against Gio on Sunday, 8-9, 4.24 ERA. So that's what we got. Gentlemen, what are your predictions for the coming week? Steve?
I think that we will go 2-4. We win one game in each series.
All right. Yeah. CB, you've even lost your love of the game. You have to host again. Your homerism is tarnished. All right.
When I'm sitting in this seat, like, I understand.
Yeah, man. It's
all the cynicism.
It's somber. It's bleak. It's bleak looking from that perspective. I'm trying to keep this ship afloat.
Hammy, you made that comment about Matt Kemp's weight. I know there were the stories this week that the Braves want him to lose weight for next year and everything. Did you see that he's officially listed at 215? 215!
Oh, that's...
If he's not 240 or 250, I would be shocked.
Yeah, that's that's like last November's weigh-in. Like at the end of the season weigh-in.
That's like 2012's weigh-in.
Yeah, yeah. That's like driver's license weigh-in.
Anyway, sorry.
All right, so Stevie, 4-2.
Yeah.
2-4. 2-4. All right. I'm trying to pump you back up. All right, 6-0, Stevie. Good prediction. You're back. All right, Curtis, you.
Luckily, the persona that I've been labeled that I hate everything, I get to stick with going also 2-4 and not getting any, you know, blowback for saying so.
Yeah.
2-4.
2-4. Well, I personally am tired of all of this overachieving by the Braves, so I'm going to predict 4-2, because that means, you know, 2-0, 2-2. I think we sweep the Twins, we split the series with the Nats. This, of course, will mean that the Braves go 1-5, and we will be back to normal. And no,
we need to start doing a number one pick countdown here.
Yeah.
Do we know where we stand right now? What's the Twins' record? Any idea?
I don't know.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw us off.
No, that's all right. It's a hard thing to root for.
It really is a hard thing to root for, especially when we're playing the Nats. I said I don't really care about the wins and losses that much, except when we're playing the Nationals. I mean, I just despise them.
Yeah.
I'm so pissed that we didn't at least take two or three this week. Although, nice Nationals news that they released Jonathan Papelbon.
Yeah.
Just because if I hate something more than Nationals, it's Jonathan Papelbon.
He released himself, apparently.
Oh, my goodness. Accurately.
All right, guys. Well, that is the show. All of you out there, thanks for listening. Remember, you can find us, as always, at www.atlantabaseballtalk.com. You can find past shows, read our blog, and post comments in the comment section. You can also find us at blogtalkradio.com. Hang out with us on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk. Thanks again for listening, everybody, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.